I hope all of you, when you were singing the song about worthy is the Lamb, there's going to come a time when we are all going to be actually singing those words to Jesus himself. I don't know. I felt the same way, Deb. When we were all through the whole worship time, it was a real meeting with the Lord. Where these things are not just some little religious exercise to make us feel better,
right.
Or to get us through something. There are some very, very important things that are taking place in the world, in the plan of God, to bring an age to a close, to bring about the thing for 2,000 years that all Christianity has been looking for, the return of Christ. Yeah, we all do believe that, don't we?
Yes.
We know that he is returning.
Right. Yes.
Who is, who was, and is to come, right?
Yes.
I mean, those aren't just fancy words. These are things that are going to happen. And these are things that hopefully will inspire us, strengthen us, give us what we need in the times that are ahead, because they're not great times. Are they? But we can find a place of peace and rest and strength because we're founded in the one who has all of that. Amen? So whatever is swirling around us, whatever is being shaken around us, and lots of times, sad to say, in us, right? We are going to get through all of these things because we look to someone, the Lord Jesus, knowing that he is faithful to us. Isn't that right?
Yes.
This is where solid ground is,
yeah, right,
for us.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, we have things happen in this world to us and on an individual basis that is because of our own choices. There's results, there's consequences to the decisions that we make in life, and so things happen because we make certain decisions. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, there are things that God maneuvers and allows to happen to us as well. That has nothing to do with particular decisions that we've made. God is working something inside every one of us. Situations in our life, whether it's a teaching, everything is a teaching experience coming from God to us. Everything God has a purpose in. He doesn't just allow things to happen capriciously. He has a purpose for every single one of us in a very specific kind of way, and he allows things to happen and puts people into our lives, right?
Yes. Yeah.
For particular reasons.
Yes. Yeah.
He always has a reason. He always has a purpose. So, you know, I hope that we can be aware of what's going on, right? And when opportunities come up, we will be able to go, oh, I see what God's doing here. I might not like what God's doing here, but I can see what he wants to work in me. And there's lots of times in my life and in your life where we're just reacting to the situation and we don't step back and we don't see the full picture. We don't understand. Well, how many times have you said, God, why are you doing this to me? Right? But there is a reason, all the time. Sometimes it's our own faults. It's going to be the result of decisions we've made, things we've done. And sometimes there's a bigger purpose that's involved. All right, now, here's a scripture to illustrate what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 15 to 18. All right, now, His Word is a lamp under our feet, right? So, we want to read this and understand that God is speaking something very specific to us today. But listen to what He says here. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in 15. All things are for your sakes. Oh, everything that happens has a purpose. Huh? Good things, bad things. There's a purpose. Yeah. Even when we make some stupid decision that leads to a bad thing happening in our life, God has a purpose that He can get out of that. He'll take something that's bad and turn it for something that will be good for us. Right. That's the kind of God we serve. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Romans 8. So, continuing. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many to overflow to the glory of God. For which cause we don't lose courage or hope. Whatever's going on in the world today, whatever craziness is going on in our individual family, you know, in the community, in the world at large, and it's crazy. It defies logic. The very things that are going on right now. 2 years ago, if somebody would have said that particular things that were going to be pushed as law or were happening in the world, I would have said, you're crazy. That's never going to happen, especially here in the United States. That's all out the window.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can kind of start going, what the heck is going, you know, where's the solid ground? Well, we all know where the solid ground is, don't we? And that's why we won't be shaken when so many other people are going to be shaken. And we need to be in a solid place to help people whose heads are spinning around by all of this stuff and even the worst stuff that's coming down the pike. We're going to need to be those kinds of people. Do you want to be the kind of person that's secure, solid, or do you want to be someone who is like everybody else? What the heck? I don't know what's going on around here. I mean, I feel that way a lot of times anyway. But you know, you have to reach into the Lord. You and I need to be a deposit of Jesus Himself, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Branch to the vine.
Yeah, just like from the song. That was a great song. So for which cause we don't lose courage or hope. I see some things and I go, oh my gosh, this whole country's falling apart. No, I am not going to allow myself to lose hope.
Good.
Right?
Yes.
You can't.
No.
And even if it goes in a completely different way than what I want, I'm not going to lose hope anyway, because Jesus is still in control, isn't he?
Yes.
Don't we understand this?
Yes.
Right?
Charles Stanley was on that today, too.
What, Stanley was talking about that? Charles Stanley? But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. See, all of these things that are happening have an outward impact on us that might not be so great. I mean, I've had some times just lately where I've had to kind of sit down because my body was shaking from the from the anger at times, from the
frustration.
You guys could all come up with the words, because we've all experienced this. So my outward man is going through it. But you know what? My inward man is being taught and strengthened by the Spirit of God so that I am going to overcome in these things. Yes. And so are you.
Yes.
It's an attitude, isn't it?
Yes.
There's an overcomer attitude that has to be in the people of the Lord. Has to be.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Alright. And then it goes on. For our momentary light affliction works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'll finish this and then I'll come back to it. While we don't look at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yes.
Yeah. There is deep internal character, attitude, spiritual strengthening that's going on in the midst of all of this craziness that's all around us. If we let it. Right?
Yes.
If we let it. This is where God is going to give us the hope, the peace, the strength to be able to do what needs to be done. Because what you know what I'm finding, and I'm sure you're finding this, I don't have the strength. I don't have the inner peace. I don't have the right kind of reactions in myself. I have to cry out to God all the time.
Thank you. No.
Can I get over here?
Yes.
Because Joe doesn't like me over here.
No, I have moved my seat back and forth 3 times now.
Because I'm moving over there? Alright, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
You see, there's something about me. I tend to move to the right. If you get my drift. Alright, so.
We're all drifting there.
There's a lot of drift in that direction, right?
Malcolm, you've done it again.
Maybe if I start here.
Start there.
We can hear you though.
You can hear me okay over there?
Yes.
Alright, so.
That's all that counts.
There we go.
I'm going to give you an Alaska story. You might have heard this. Kathy and I lived in Alaska for 5 years. We were out on a farm in Alaska. It was a Christian community set up and outreach to people in the region where we were. And the only way... Oh.
We never actually put the camera over there.
See? I have to be over here because the camera's over here. So, the only way that you could get to our community's farm was to go by riverboat. I happened to be the person that...
The captain.
Was the riverboat captain. I was the one that made all the trips to go up and get people, bring them down, bring people from the farm up to the boat dock where they could, where we kept all our cars. Well, not we didn't have a lot. And people would, you know, travel different places that they had to do things. But I was the guy that did that. So, they wanted to have 2 people that really knew the river. You. Anyway, so. The river was the Tanana. It's the major tributary of the Yukon. Okay? And it's 20 something feet deep. The river's moving right along about 9-10 knots. It's a fast-moving river, and it's glacial-fed. It's cold. Now, it was July and I was bringing some people downriver, and it was raining like crazy, and the river level went up pretty high, and we also had this rope that went across part of the river, so that we had what we call a pull boat, and you could pull yourself into the river, and then the current would pull that pull boat all the way across to the other side. There was a little island there. Anyway, so we had this pull boat rope that was across, and I had to go past that to make the turn to dock the boat. Well, the river had come up so high that the rope, instead of being up over my head, which isn't that high, was way down. So as we thought, well, we'll just duck and go underneath it, and we'll be fine. But that isn't what happened. The boat had a motor lift where the handle was way up higher than me, the top of the handle, and the rope got caught on the top of the handle, and we're going down river, and I'm trying to get that rope off of there because it's now stretching the rope, it's tightening up the rope, so I'm trying to hit it up past the top of the thing, and it wasn't doing it. Well, about the third or fourth attempt, it did go up over, but it was so taut at that point, it just snapped back real fast, catching me in the head, and threw me, lifted me up and out of the boat. So into the water, 39 degrees. 39 degree water, and it was all a big surprise to me, and there I am, and I come up out of the water, and of course the boat's downriver, and there were two people in the boat who had never been in a boat before, in a river boat before, and I'm in the water. So stupid me, I thought, well, I'm being stupid, I'm going, oh man, I pop up and I go, well, let's see, which side should I swim to, because I was right in the middle of the river. So I go, oh, I'm gonna swim in this direction. So I start swimming, big open, swimming, just, and I took about three strokes and I couldn't breathe. I didn't even think that the cold water against my chest was going to cause me breathing problems. And I could hardly get my breath. And I thought, this is it. I'm going to go be with the Lord. I thought, this is it. Because I had no strength. I just didn't have any strength on it. But I'm going down. Well, what happened was, one of the girls, there was two girls in the boat. One of the girls got the motor running. It had stopped. And she got the motor running. I don't know how she did it, but she did it. She got it started. She started going up river past me. And I told her, go up past, I was yelling to her, go up past me and come back around. And then she could just float and I could grab a hold of the boat. She never drove a boat. I'm thinking to myself, she's probably going to hit me in the head with the boat, and I'll go. But I had no choice, right? So I said, come on, yeah. And she goes, well, I don't want to hit you. I said, no, you might as well try. So she came by, and I was able to grab a hold. It was perfect. It was a miracle. It was perfect. And I grabbed a hold of the side of the boat, and we floated down river for a while until I felt I had enough strength, and I threw my one leg up and caught the heel on the inside of the boat, and then I flipped myself, used my leg and arms, and flipped myself into the boat. Well, I had hypothermia for 3 days after that, and I was sick. I was sick as a dog in bed from that. But that experience kind of helped me a little bit because it taught me a few things. And one of the things was, don't give up. That was a real, you know, now I could have thought, God, why did you let this happen to me? What? Come on. But no. No. He touched me and I realized, no, I was learning, I was supposed to learn something from this experience. And it was not only for physical kinds of things, but for spiritual things. Don't give up. Keep going. And I'm telling you, it has made a big difference in my from that point. That teaching experience, what God wanted me to get out of it, I think I got. Don't give up. Now, I've had my times where I've kind of, you know, been discouraged and stuff, but I remember that, and I get through that. God wants us to do that. He wants us to be prepared for the things that are coming up in this world. He doesn't want us just bouncing through life, being controlled by everything that's going on. We are to be the ones that are in control of ourselves, of situations, so that when things are happening, we have the right kind of godly input to give to people. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, that was my little thing I wanted to And I wrote down here, what happened in Alaska 40 years ago prepared me for other events in my life, and I know that event over 40 years ago is still going to be preparing me for things that are still out there in front of me. Yeah?
Yes.
Same thing with you, right? If you look at it that way, if you understand that God's involved in all of this. You know, like it says, for all things are for our sakes. All things are for our sake. Everything can end up turning to something positive.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
Come on, yeah, is it good? It's a good thing. It really is. Until some bad thing happens, then you go, oh, dude.
Yeah.
But, and of course, because we're human, that's going to be a natural kind of response. But if we remember this, if we remember that, we remember this scripture, maybe we can come through something faster, stronger, right?
Yeah.
If we understand that these things are going to happen, it is not an easy ride, right? So I'm going to read you real fast. So, John, don't try to keep up with me putting up the scriptures. I'm going to read you, four scriptures in a row here. This is what it says. I'll give you the scripture reference if you want to write it down and maybe look at it later. I am going to read it. Matthew 24:44 says this. Therefore, you be ready also, for in an hour that you don't think the Son of Man will come. Now, this is talking about his actual physical coming at the end of the age. But how about when he comes and there's a visitation that he comes in our life for a particular situation that's going on? Don't we want to be ready? To be able to hear what he has to say, to give us wisdom for particular things that are going on in our life? I think so.
Yes.
So, yes, it applies to the end of the age, but it also applies for anything where God wants to minister something to us in the midst of chaos or confusion or whatever it might be, right? So be ready. So Jesus says, be ready. Take heed to your, this is Luke 21:34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that the day closes in on you like a trap. Mm-hmm. Is that how it says it on there?
Snape.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same thing. Is that right? Mm. We got to take heed. We got to know what's going on. We got to know what's going on. We got to know what's going on inside of us. We got to know how the enemy is trying to work his little devious, deceptive ways to try to get us to move away from the Lord, not have as much trust in God. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 says this, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you like a thief. Mm. And then Matthew 16:2-3. And he answered and said to them, when it was evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Oh, you hypocrites! You can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. We should know things.
Yeah.
We should see the signs and understand. Now, that this isn't just about the end of the age. This is about, can you put a few things that are happening together and go, this isn't a good situation. Or, hey, this is great. You know, we have to look at what's going on in our lives and be able to discern, am I going in the right direction? Am I really seeing things in the way that I need to? What's my attitude like through all of these things, right? Oh. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give an answer with meekness and reverence to every man that asks you for the reason of the hope that's in you.
Be ready.
There has to be a readiness.
There's a searching.
A readiness, right? So, I'm gonna read down here some things, my thoughts about this. Here's Jesus saying these things to us, right? Jesus, in Matthew 24:44, was the one that said, you know, be ready. And so I said, well, we're told to be ready. So there must be something we need to be ready for. Why did Jesus tell us that? There must be something significant, important, vital that we need to be aware of, so that we're ready for that very thing, right? So there's a reason for us to be ready. Do we know what that is? Do we know what things we need to look for? What are these signs that we need to look for, right? And really, it's not just for the end times. It's for anything that starts looming up in our life. Okay, so let's look at some ways. This is certainly not even close to all the ways. I'm going to give you three things today that deal with how to be ready for things that happen in our life. Okay? All right. So I'm going to get to one important idea. There's some other ideas that I didn't get, that I'm not going to even touch on, nor am I going to get to all the different kinds of examples. But here's one thing. We know the information that is vital and what to do with that information. If you're going to be ready for something, you need to know what you need to know. And you need to know what to do with that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Come on. Come on. I'm not losing you here, am I?
Yeah, no.
You're able to understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay? All right. Well, for example. Test. Test. Okay? How many of you, well, I can think of a few examples, but how many of you would go into a test and not study?
No.
Just John. John would.
Carol. Carol and Andy, by the way, Potter over here, in case you don't know who they are. I had Carol as a student at the dorm.
Yes. I didn't need to because she was so good.
And I think that she picked up a lot of right there in the classroom. So maybe she didn't have to study for my part. I knew Joe would have his hand up. But you know, I still, even today, I have nightmares where I'm going to be going into a classroom to take a test, and I forgot all about studying.
Yeah.
I mean, those test nightmares are horrible. My heart's pounding when I wake up. You know, not to be ready for a test. Oh my gosh, that was horrible, horrible, horrible for me. Anyway, I can see that most of you don't really. So. Get up there. Alright, so let me back up. Alright, so if we need to be ready for something, right? And we need to know, well, what are the specific things that we need to be ready for? And how am I gonna get ready for that? Alright? So, yeah, see, I mean, where am I going to go with this? We know that we can find every bit of information that we need for life and godliness where? From the Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. Isn't that right?
Yes.
All right? So we know that when things come up in our life, the best place for us to go is into the Word of God.
Yes.
Right? All right, so I'm going to go into the Word of God, and I'm going to give you a vital piece of information, and then talk about, well, what does that mean? How? What do we do with it? Okay? So, Hebrews 12, verses 26 and 27. What I'm gonna read on my paper is probably not gonna look exactly like what it's gonna be up there. Whose voice then shook the earth, talking about God. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as things that are made, that the things which can't be shaken may remain.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
So, you know, there's lots of the shaking, the removing. There's lots of changes going on in the world. How do we deal with all of this stuff? Right? How do we deal with this? Well, the answer, okay? So if we realize that things that happen to us, usually where turmoil comes, where situations where we don't know how to react, it's usually some kind of big change. Something big is happening. It's on the national level, it's on the personal level, isn't it?
Yes.
That's where we need to feel like we're on solid ground, right? When things are shaking.
Right.
So the answer, what to do with this information, is actually in the next couple verses of that same scripture. So I'm going to read to you Hebrews 12, 28, 29. Here's the answer for us in knowing how to approach things in terms of reaction. It says this. Therefore, so here's all this stuff. The shaking is going to happen, and there's a removal of things that can be shaken, so that the things that can't be shaken may remain. And then he says this. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
Yes. Yes.
God is dealing with the world.
Yes.
God is dealing with you and me.
Yes.
Bringing us to a better place. That's what's happening with us.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Because we accept that. We want to allow God to change us into the image of His Son. That's why we're still alive. That's why we're still on the earth after we accept Christ. It's not to just live our life the way we used to. It's to get to know Him and start living the way He wants us to live. Isn't that right?
Yes.
This is why it talks about the kingdom. Since we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that comes? When Jesus is actually the king of your life.
Yes.
If Jesus is not the king of your life, he's our Savior. But if He's not your Lord, if you're not really giving your life over to Him, it's a long process. But where we keep coming to God, God, I've messed up again, but Lord, forgive me, I want to have my life changed. Where He is Lord in your life, we will find that solid ground upon which to handle anything that comes along in this life. Anything. Right? God says He's gonna allow things that can be shaken to be shaken. But you guys, me, we receive a kingdom that can't be.
Right.
And at the center of the kingdom is the King.
Right.
Amen.
The Lord. The maker of heaven and earth, who has a particular design and plan for each of our lives. Let's get serious, right? Let's be more serious about that, right? So, one of the things it says, let us have grace. And I thought, wow, I have to ask for grace all the time. The power to be able to do things that I can't do normally.
Yeah.
That's grace. His unmerited favor, His unmerited ability that He gives to you. You know, and this is going to be important in the days and weeks and months and years ahead here. Because if you're looking at yourself and how you have perceived your own abilities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You're not going to step out in faith when God wants you to move in a particular kind of way.
Right.
You're not?
Right.
But if you see that if God asks you to step out in a certain way, well, He'll give you the grace for it.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes.
He'll give you the grace. He'll give me the grace. I'm going to be doing... Kathy and I are going to be in a... I don't even know. I mean, it's like, you know, going out and not know where we're going almost. I mean, we do know where we're going. But it's... I don't have a particular ministry that God has spoken to me I'm going to move into while I'm down there. Mm-hmm. You know how that shakes me up?
Yes. Yeah.
So, it might be something brand new. Probably will be. Yeah. I can't just say, well, I can't do that. God opens a door, I need to step into that. God opens a door for you, you need to step into it, knowing that God will give you the grace to do it, whether it's something little or something big or whatever in between. We don't have to be afraid about that, do we? Because the people that take those steps of faith, God will be able to use. Do we want to please our master?
Yes.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to skip one of these.
Too good to skip?
Somebody pray for me right now. What am I supposed to do here? Somebody, because I'm getting all kinds of stuff in my head. Go ahead, somebody just pray out loud.
Father, we just ask that you give Malcolm the words and the wisdom. We ask that you touch his mind, show him where he needs to be. We just ask to submit him.
All right, here's another one then. And this is another piece of vital information that we need to know for us to be ready about things. If you go to Matthew 24, verses 11 and 12, I'm going to skip one of these right now. I think that's what the Lord's telling. All right, and it says this, "And many false prophets shall arise and will deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold."
Yes.
And you better be aware of this. Even in Christian churches in America, who use the name of Jesus, you better be careful.
Yes.
When you hear things coming across the pulpit or talking with people in wherever you are, you better be careful about how you hear anything here. I've said a lot, and so have all the other guys that have ever preached here. You need to be a Berean. Mm-hmm. And if you read in the book of Acts, the Bereans didn't just take whatever was said and go, oh, okay. They checked it out.
Yeah.
They made sure it was scripturally based. Yeah?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you check these things out, and you make sure that there's a witness in your spirit for what's being said, right? Because there's going to be, you're going to go, well, you'll be exposed to a whole bunch of stuff that is supposedly Christian, and it's not. It has a little piece of truth to it, but it's damnable if you look at it for too long. I've talked about this too much. I'm not even going to go into particular details. You can check that out yourself. So, that Matthew 24, 11 and 12. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because of iniquity being abounding, the love of many will grow cold. There's going to be a lack of love. There's going to be a lack of truth. Right? See this all around us.
Yeah.
You can see it. You can see it in every kind of realm in this world. The scripture tells us at the end of the age that the enemy is going to pour out of his mouth this water as a flood to take the whole world. What do you think that's all about? The washing of the water of the word, right? You know that scripture. Well, this is the enemy's words. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And there's a lot being poured out in the religious realm, in the social realm, in the political realm, and you and I, hopefully, aren't going to be deceived. Jesus says that 6 or 7 times in Matthew 24. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. If if he didn't come back, even some of the elect might have been deceived. It's there. The thing of what that means is going to be in this world, and I can look at almost anything and know there's a lot of deception. And many of us have said, how is it possible for us to know what's true anymore about anything? Right? And the Word of God is what's going to help us to know what's true and what isn't. Because the Word of God is going to give us the wisdom we need to connect the right kind of dots.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what do we do with knowing that all this deception is going to be around? John 8, verses 31 and 32. This is what it says. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, well, you have to start first. You have to read the Bible. And then you have to continue reading the Bible. Right? If you continue in my word, then you are indeed my disciples. And you will know the truth. And guess what? God's truth will set you free.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah for that.
Yes.
This is religious truth. This is social truth, the way we should be interacting with one another and how things should be in our families and in businesses and all of that. And it's the same with what's going on in the political realm. We'll know the truth. We're going to know the truth. Yeah.
Is there a mic? Is the mic there?
Yeah.
I think the Lord is saying some stuff. And so in my notes here that we're kind of working on a little, some different things that God's working through. I had something that I just wrote down the other day, Thursday actually at 5:31. Where do you get evidence? Where do you get truth?
Yeah.
If you're spending 99% of the time watching world news or the internet news, yeah, and less than 1% of the time in God's word,
yeah,
what do you think your life is going to be focused on?
Yeah.
It's going to be out of balance.
Yeah.
You're going to be misled.
Yeah.
It's important to know all the stuff that's going on.
Yes.
But we can't be out of balance,
right?
So if we're spending 1% of the time in the Word, and then 99% of the time in the world, we're going to have a problem. We're not going to be on solid ground.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes.
The opposite of that is if we spend all that time just letting God do His thing and not pay attention to what's going on. Like Rachel said, we need the balance. If I talked to a Christian guy the other day, he said, don't pay attention to anything that's going on out there because it's too hard to determine what's true and what's not true. But you got to be aware of what's going on. So, awake.
It's vital to have the information. We need what's going on out here to inform us so that we can go to the Word and know what's what. Right? We need both of that. It's the balance, just like what was being said. All right, and this is the last thing. Matthew 24, verse 13. This is really important for us. This kind of goes back to the example I said about Alaska. And this is what it says. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. There's a perseverance that is so important. If you're going to be ready, we have to persevere through trial. We have to persevere in reading our word. We have to persevere in prayer. We have to persevere, don't we?
Yes, we do.
in all of our interactions and the fellowships that we have. We need to do that. And God, like I said at the beginning, God provides all these opportunities for us.
Yep.
Your life isn't just bouncing along willy-nilly. Most of the things that are happening to us are the results of our choices, but also God bringing things, allowing or bringing things into our life so that we can learn thereby and grow the way He wants us to. Isn't that great? So Lord, we thank You today. We want to be people that are ready, as You ask us to be, that we're aware of things, that we have the right kind of balance in our life. Lord, especially that we have Your love, Your character, a desire for love and good deeds. Help us, Lord, to just move out in that in a greater way. We bind the spirit of fear, which does not come from God. We have already inside of us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And so, Lord, we open up to that and close down the fear. We open up to that and close down the anxiousness of the things that are swirling around us. And we look to You, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.